Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I just want to let you know that we had a very, very exciting week this week. We were out rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking and just doing some incredible things, showing the world what we can do if we learn to work together. There's nothing more important than working together. The people must learn to work together. And everybody, every single person can do something. I got a call this week from a prisoner who was telling me that his cell was full of mold. But even more important than this, they had an article in the Metro. And I'm just going to read part of it this week. I'll come back next week and read another part of it. Rash spreads at the women's prison in Michigan. Officials say they don't know what's causing prisoners. Prisoners are blaming on black mold from a leaky roof. A painful, itchy rash continued to spread through Michigan, only women's prison. An official said Tuesday they still don't know what is causing the rash or how best to treat it. The Free Press first reported the problem in March when officials said there were close to 50 cases confirmed to one of Ypsilanti area prisons, 15 units. Now, there are nearly 200 cases of the itchy rash which features little red bumps on the inner thigh, the butt, the arm, the back, and the chest. In 8 of the units, Correctional Department spokesman Chris said, prisoners blame the conditions such as a leaky roof, inadequate ventilation, they said having resulted in excess mildew and black mold. Prison official who insists the rash is not contagious denied that there is mold, black mold problem, and said they suspect the rash is the fault of the inmates and not the prison, not black mold. They're saying that it's the women's fault that they got this rash and it's itchy and it's not black mold. Well, I'm going to say this. When I was in prison, I was in Marquette prison, more than 500 miles from my home. They placed me in a cell with black mold. It was everywhere. Matter of fact, I lost about 40 pounds when I was in prison. It was eating me up from the inside out, and I became very ill. I knew that they wanted to kill me. I knew that they wanted to hurt me. I knew that they wanted to cripple me some kind of way. But here's what's important. I fought them, and we won. People called from all over this country complaining about the black mold that was in Marquette Prison. They denied that mold exists in the prison. But we all knew that it was there. They got so many calls, maybe from 500 to 1,000 people called in requesting they investigate this thing. They even called Lansing, the headquarters. And sure enough, they sent somebody out to investigate. And sure enough, the cell was full of black mold from the top to the bottom. They had to redo that whole area. And never before in the history of the prison system would they admit that there was mold in that area. The problem was that most of the time people believe these people that's in this prison system. When they say something, the people believe what they're saying. If they're saying there's no mold, even though there is mold, it means there's no mold. This is the attitude of the prison system. This is the attitude of the warden, the guards, and everybody. And if you died while you was in prison, nobody really cared, because they would use the media to say that you died from something else. But these women that's in prison today, the black mold is affecting their bodies. And they all have become, in fact, maybe more than 200 cases. Something got to be wrong. And let me say this to the prison authorities. You know that there's mold in those cells. You know it. You know that there's mold in those cells. And we want you to make sure that you go there and do something about it. And we're gonna make sure that they understand how important it is that we call in and let people know. So I want people to start calling in. I'm going to put it on my website, the phone number to call. And what we're going to do, we're going to bombard these people with calls and let them know that we know that there's mold in these cells. But listen, I got a couple of guests that's coming on that I'm excited about. I got my good friend Adam from Chicago, a musician, and those of you out there, I want you to pick up a copy of the People Tribune. On the back page, it has a picture of myself and Jane Fonda, the actress Jane Fonda, and several other activists from around the country. And pick it up and read it. And I want people to understand how important it is. It's your newspaper. And if you want to write something, if you want to write an article, you can write an article. Anybody who wants to write, just contact me, and we will contact the People Tribune board and send it to them. Yes, we will. So I got my friend Adam coming on shortly, and then I got Malik coming on next. And and then we're going to take it from there. So we got a full house today. We got every position seems to be filled. And I know people are excited, so let's get the show on the road. Let me bring in my good friend from Chicago, my guy, my friend, Adam. Adam, are you there?
Yes, I am. Honored to be here.
No, Adam, it's an honor to have you. A person of your caliber, it's an honor to have you on the show, my brother. And I really appreciate you taking the time out to come on. And I know you got something that you want to talk to us about. But first, tell us about you. I want people to know who you are.
Sure. Well, I'm a musician and a poet. I have a band called One Love, Adam Gottlieb and One Love, or One Love for short. And I'm a teaching artist. I make a living teaching poetry, doing the independent, freelance teaching artist hustle, you know. So I go to a lot of places, mostly high schools and middle schools. But I also am a curriculum director at Teen Writers and Artists Project, which is a nonprofit based out of the west suburbs of Chicago. I live in the city of Chicago in the West Rogers Park neighborhood, where I am right now, in me and my partner's third floor apartment, a block away from my folks' house where I grew up. I was born and raised here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, that's just beautiful. You know, I was born and raised in Chicago too, but I was born on Halsted Street, and then we moved to the west side of Chicago. And I tell you one thing about these guys from Chicago. I give them their due. They know how to fight. And there's never been a fight a guy from Chicago have not liked. We love them all. So that's why we participate. That's why we get into things like this. And that's why it's so important. But listen, let's get into you right now, because we got to talk about you, Adam, and we want to know that I know you got a poem that you want us to hear. Let's hear it.
All right, sure. So, thank you. And both the poem and the song that I brought for today mention the Honorable Reverend Pinckney in them. And this is a poem called Testament that I wrote this summer. I'm sure you'll remember our good friend Jeff Sessions got on television and told the country that the Bible says that we should follow the law, and therefore what they were doing, putting children in cages and separating the families at the border, and what they're still doing now with the insanity going on down there, was okay. And of course, is the same scripture. There's a long history of that scripture, Romans 13. Anyway, we'll talk about all that, not to say the poem before the poem. So here's the poem, Testament. Now they're caging our babies and quoting the Bible, the same scriptures that slave owners use, claim justifiable, chaining and shipping human beings by the millions in the bottoms of boats, ripping parents from children, familiar. Now our demons come back with a vengeance. Slavery never left, check that 13th Amendment. While they preach about freedom and defeating the terrorists, cops line up in riot gear to bulldoze grandparents. And they're still saying, we can reform it. While nowadays, oil execs say, if we kill you, no foul play. And Michigan imprisons reverends who expose it, while more bodies wash up in the river like Moses. Now they're caging our babies and quoting the Bible to our faces, while their agents terrorize kids with rifles, as if Jesus would do that. As if we can't see through that. As if love thy neighbor really means act genocidal. As if there were no decency left in the world, as if words have no meaning, as if they were eternal, as if our faith's as hollow as their broken treaties, as if we aren't out marching, shouting our needs concretely. From Palestine to Mexico, border walls have got to go, as if their walls can't fall just like old Jericho. As if God was their property and the kingdom of heaven was a world at war and not a world of brethren.
Oh, absolutely. That was amazing. Matter of fact, I really like that. Would you send that to me, please?
I will.
Email me that. That is one beautiful poem, you know, and you know, we always talk about the integrations and the caravan and you know, they put the little babies in cages, and a lot of people feel it's okay, but it's not okay. Why would you think that it's okay to be in a cage? I was in a cage. I know it's not okay, but we have to make sure that we tell them that, Adam. If we don't tell them that, Adam, then, you know, they think it's all right. So we have to make sure that they understand how important it is for us to continue this fight and stay focused and do not get sidetracked. Because let's face it, we're surrounded by this right now. Things everywhere we go is so much hate, you know, especially for immigrants. They hate immigrants for reasons unknown. Nobody wants to be in the cage. You definitely don't want any of these children in a cage for any reason that we can think of. But listen, before we go on, and I know you got a beautiful song that you want to play, but I want to ask you, how do you feel about a government, a country, that refused to feed, clothe, and house its people? You see, because a lot of times people don't understand the importance of that. But talk to me. Tell me a little bit about that. That, you know, how, give me your feelings and whatever it is. Because this is the Pinckney to Pinckney show, and you're able to say whatever your heart desires. So talk to me.
All right. That's great. Because usually I got to be real careful.
Yes. Absolutely.
But But yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, and probably people listening here don't know me for the most part, but I also work with the People's Tribune. And, you know, of course, I agree with the mission statement, and I think it starts with something like what you just said, something like a system that doesn't house, clothe, and feed its people must be and will be overturned by one that does. And in the end, like, as much as I hate it, you know, as much as I hate capitalism and this evil, cruel, inhuman society that we live in, it doesn't matter how much I hate it. That's not what's important. What's important is that the people won't have any choice but to fight for their lives. I mean, that's what's happening all around us in a million different ways. So that's how I feel about it, is that it's on its way out, you know, and that's the most important thing that I could say in any short amount of time, I think. And but the problem is that it's not just going to go away automatically. We are going to have to fight for it. And like you said, we're going to have to learn to work together and organize around what we have in common. But what we have in common is precisely that one way or another, we are fighting for our lives. Some of us are more comfortable. I mean, I you know, have food in my refrigerator, and we're able to pay rent for now, you know. So outside my door, you know, plenty of neighbors who don't have housing, right? And then all over this country and at our borders and all over the world, there are people who are struggling just for these basic, you know, things that they need to survive, for a roof over their heads and food on their plates and clean water, my God. And now the intergovernmental, agency that did the environmental report this year put out that report that says we only got 12 years to figure this shit out. I don't know if I can say that on the radio. Maybe I should. Okay, that's one against me. I will be better. We only got 12 years to figure this stuff out, or we might not even have a planet. So this is from the smallest, most individual needs to the largest, most global needs. We're in a crisis, and I feel like most of the people listening to the show probably already know that, but you ask how I feel about it. I mean, I feel like it's against everything that our nature inclines us, really moves us toward, and it's against all of the real core values of all religions and spiritual traditions of the world. And at the heart of all sacred texts are these, you know, basic human rights and our duty to uphold them and protect the vulnerable and protect the stranger in our midst. And that's what we got to unite around, because we actually have the possibility now, for the first time, to be fully human and to make a fully human world.
You know, absolutely. You're right there. And one of the things you said about the capitalistic system is dying. Yes, it is. You know, I remember when it took 50 people to make one automobile, and which was so amazing. But now you can make 50 automobiles with one person. So, and then now the problem is, who's going to buy these automobiles? Those 49 other people that you eliminated, they was the one who was buying the automobiles. And it just like here in Benton Harbor, where we have Whirlpool Corporation, where they used to, you know, everybody was all hands on deck making the washer, dryer, stove, and refrigerator. Now they have a robot that's able to do these things. And what they're doing, but a robot may be able to make a few cars, make a few washer and dryer, but a robot cannot buy automobile, it cannot buy a washer and dryer, and it cannot buy a stove and refrigerator. So they call themselves with more production, but yet they're going to have less people buying their products. So the capitalist system says that, you know, we make, we buy. But not now, you know, you have nobody buying. So, like you said, the capitalist system is about to die. And we better get it through our heads, get ourselves prepared to move on, because it's coming. You know, and like you said, we only got 12 years left before we don't know what's going to happen in 12 years. It might be 11 years. You know, it might be 10 years. It might even be 13 years. But the point is, it's coming. It's coming. So we better brace ourselves, Adam. And I tell you, I'm glad you out here singing about it, talking about it, doing things about it. You know, we're working on a few things ourselves. We got this one voice now where we believe that, you know, the election system got to be changed. We believe that the people should take back their voice back. Take the voice back from these crooked politicians. Take it back and start letting people vote from home. Let people vote from the cell phone. Let them so they don't have to stand in line no more. We believe that that can be done. And also, one of my other friends got a book out that he believed that the system, that his system would help everybody and end poverty, which is very interesting also. But anyway, what's even more important, your work is so incredible because you go all over the country with your music, and you believe in freedom for all, which is the most important thing. A lot of times we got so many people who's not listening to stuff like that. They got theirs, now you get yours, you know. So that's how I feel in reference to stuff like that. But we got to stay focused and do what needs to be done. And you know, when we talk about the People Tribune, now think about the People Tribune. You got an opportunity to write an article in the People Tribune. Utilize that newspaper. It don't take a whole lot. Go out and read the newspaper, write an article for it, and keep it moving. Because we love the People Tribune. So, you know, that's how much it is. Even though the People Tribune was responsible for me being in going to prison one time for writing that article, I will not hold that against the People Tribune, because
that's love.
When the shoe, yes, when the shoe fit, Adam, you gotta wear.
That's,
you know, whether you like it or not, if the shoe fit, you got to wear. And who will believe today that the People Tribune newspaper is now famous? It's a famous newspaper. Matter of fact, it went all over. You know, probably even the Vatican in Rome read it, because they wrote a brief for me during that party, during that incident. They wrote a brief in support of me. That's coming from the Vatican. That's some big time action, boy. Coming from Rome, you know. So I'm excited. And I'm excited for you and to keep this thing moving. But listen, I know that it's time. Let's hear what you have for us, music wise. Unless you want to say a few more words before, whichever way it is, it's your time. So you do what you do.
Sure. Sure. I'll say one more thing, and then, yes, I would love to play the song. You know, I am so inspired by so many people who are taking action right now, and that's why I try to write about them and uplift them and uplift their struggles in my music and poetry, and then also be a part of those struggles myself and give the music and poetry as a tool, you know, to spread the message farther to the movement. And so one of the things that really, really inspired me just recently is something that happened last week at the border, at the San Diego-Tijuana border. You might have heard about this. It was a national interfaith gathering in honor of the anniversary of the UN Declaration of Human Rights, which is called Human Rights Day. And folks from all faith leaders and congregants and people of conscience from all different faith traditions and backgrounds came together, about 400 people, and there were about 30 who took arrests at the front line as the police tried to get them to back off from the border where they were holding an interfaith service, a ceremony, you know, praying for the migrants and the caravan who and the folks who are seeking asylum, that they would get that asylum. And they had demands like, you know, not only to give them asylum, but to demilitarize the border and to really respect the human right to move, to migrate, right, which is one of the human rights in the UN Declaration. And I was so proud, my rabbi actually, so it was an interfaith thing. That means a lot to me because I also am interfaith in my identity. My dad was raised Jewish, mom was raised Christian. So, and me and my partner and different folks in my family and friend group also belong to this wonderful congregation in Chicago called Tzedek Chicago. Tzedek means justice in Hebrew. And our rabbi, Brent Rosen, who's a wonderful man who I hope to introduce you to and expect that you'll meet with or without me one of these days. Some of the congregants, a bunch of other congregants from Tzedek were part of that action down in San Diego. He was actually one of the folks who got arrested, and he wrote this piece out. I'll email it to you too. It's in Truth Out. I wanted to share that because I think that actually faith leaders have a really important role, and people of strong conscience, whether it's inspired by a faith tradition or not, have a really important role right now because everything is kind of crumbling and collapsing around us. And so we need to know what we really
see. Absolutely. 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 That's beautiful. I'm glad. Let's hear it.
All right. Thank you. This is a song called Shy Exodus. I hope it sounds good on the telephone. If not, folks can listen to it, and they can also watch the video. And for until December 26th, as my little Christmas gift to y'all, download it for free on our Bandcamp page. And you can find that easiest way is probably on our Facebook page to go from there. So just Adam Gottlieb and One Love on Facebook. One Love is one word. All right. Shy Exodus. It was a warm December due to global warming. I was grateful for the weather as the crowd was forming. Outside the CPD station, the same place we happened the year before, and we're still in this war. Meanwhile, Mr. Trump was saying ban all Muslims while we keep dropping bombs in the name of our customs. And on the church it reads for everyone to see, Merry Christmas, peace on earth, goodwill to all. Snowball and the city's pretty, but the homeless crawl out and cold. Behold, a baby born, there's no room for it to be born. Rose and thorn, those born, blessed in spirit I behold, for yours is the kingdom of God. You know they shot Laquan and then they tried to hide it. That's why we gathered there to say a silent prayer and say it with our feet as we stood up for peace. We celebrated Christmas with our fists held high up for prisoners and hunger strikers on the diet, while Reverend Pinckney sat in isolation at his prison in cold water, not so far away. Today, there's a child in need of care whose parents can't afford to pay. Today,
baby born to a mother living on a street with no means to eat. Jesus, they're blessed out of me for we shall inherit the earth. Yeah. Why is the world so mean? Why are words so cheap? Why is the air we breathe neither pure nor free? Not for you or me does this have to be. What if we could dream another world of peace? And why is mankind so slow? And how much more to go? And do I dare believe the kingdom lives in me? Abundant planet Earth, humanity's rebirth. This is what we deserve. This is what life is worth. Be a shepherd, make an angel sing low. Behold, a savior born in a manger, go there now and see. And believe, then teach, blessed are makers of peace. For we are the children of God.
My brother. All right, but listen, why don't you give out your website real fast, and I got to move on, but hey, I really, really appreciate you. It's an honor for you for me to even have you on this show, and I tell you, I love you, and we're going to do this some more. We're going to, so people can know exactly who you are, so they can, everybody can fellowship with each other, so we become strong, one unit. And that's what I'm fighting for right now. So tell us a little bit how they can get in touch with you, how they can get your music. Do it real fast, because we only got about 30 seconds.
All right, perfect. Amen. I love you, too. Thank you, brother. The honor is truly, truly all mine. And if folks want to support, now's a great time to. We actually have an Indiegogo campaign going on for one more day, like till midnight tomorrow. You can support our first full album, which is coming out. And the easiest way to find that is to go to our Facebook page, Adam Gottlieb and One Love. If you search that on Facebook, One Love is one word. You can't miss it. It's the photo right there. You click it, you find the link. You could also simply go to Indiegogo.com and search hashtag All of You. That's the name of the album, All of You, because that's who it's for. And again, our website is adamgottliebandonelove.com, and my name is spelled G-O-T-T-L-I-E-B, Gottlieb. Adam, just the normal way, A-D-A-M. I think that's all my time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, my dear brother. You take care of yourself, you hear? And we will talk soon. My brother, Adam himself. Listen, look him up, see who he is, and do what you can. That is my brother. Now it's time to bring in my covenant brother from beautiful, beautiful California, Malak, my brother, my guy, my friend, the number one guy the number one guy is here. Come on, let's talk. And if Malak, is you there? Talk to me.
Shalom, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing today?
Man, it's a blessing, man. Most High is good.
Yes, he is. I see you on Facebook. I see you doing your thing.
You got
a backdrop
for your holy day. Huh?
Right, you got a humming sound in your... I hear some humming. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Jerome, put your phone on me for a second.
Yeah,
you know, I got my reader on. I think this phone be humming.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. All right, here
we go. Absolutely, my brother. Man, it's so good to hear your voice. I see the work that you're doing out there in California. And I'm excited. I know you're excited. Because I'm excited with the work that you're doing out there and some of the things that you're doing. And here's another thing that you're doing, and people may not know this. You're keeping a lot of them brothers in line. You see? I saw a couple of people make statements and stuff like that, and they're capable of doing that. That's what they do. You know how they do me. They if they can find a way to throw a stone and hit me in my head, they're gonna hit me in my head.
That's right.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, my brother.
Yeah,
so yeah. You got the time today. So you whatever you choose to talk about, I don't really care. All I care about you giving your
right.
Message.
All right, now, Pickney, we about to get on something real serious today.
All right, well,
You know when Malak get on, we got to go deep, right?
That's right. That's
okay.
Right. And my word to you, let's get it on, my brother. Let's get it on.
All right. So many people is getting ready for the Christmas celebration, right?
That's
but
right.
Have we ever sat back and just wondered why we bring a tree into our house and put a star on top of it? Right. Now, remember when you was on my Facebook, I was showing, me and my wife took a picture, and we was doing Feast of Dedication, and we had a menorah in front of us, right? So that's actually one of the one of our customs that we did in the wintertime to celebrate the Most High. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't
That's
do
right.
Christmas. Remember, holidays comes in to stop us from doing the things, the holy days that the Most High set up, right? Okay,
right.
So now we about to get deep on Christmas. Now, I hope it. Now, Pygmy, I know you love Christmas and everything, but.
No.
After this.
I'm a lot. Let me tell you, I'm definitely not a Christmas man, and I'm definitely not a Christmas tree man. I don't believe
okay.
in that stuff.
All right. There we go.
Well, you know me anyway. You know I can't believe in that stuff. That's not me.
Yeah. So let's get into a little bit of history where Christmas come from, right? All right. So a lot of people think when we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating Christ. This is his birthday, right?
Uh-huh.
First of all,
uh-huh.
Christ's birthday is not in the wintertime, and that's proven in the Bible and in history itself, right? So I'm gonna take y'all to a scripture real quick, and we're gonna find out when Christ was actually born. He was not born in the wintertime. All right, so
okay.
Let's go to Luke 2:1.
So we're going to Luke 2:1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed.
Okay, so now Caesar Augustus was doing a tax. He was doing a census in Jerusalem at this time. And when you look up when he was doing this.
Uh-oh.
We lost him?
I think I lost him.
Are you there?
Where you at? I'm here. Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Are you here?
I'm here. Go to verse 4.
Okay.
Verse 4.
Okay.
Okay, verse 4.
Yes, sir.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was one of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered.
All right, so there it is. Now, remember, all you got to do is look up Caesar Augustus when he did his tax sensation, which was the census and all this stuff he was doing in Jerusalem, and you will find out that that was around springtime, right before Passover. So where does Christmas, why are we celebrating December 25th? Why is that day? Who was born on that day? Okay, so when you do your research, you find out that Nimrod was actually born on December 21st, right? Now, where does the tree come in? We bring in a tree into our house, we put a star on top of the tree, and we put an angel. Now, is that a female angel or a male angel we put on the tree?
I'm thinking it's a female.
Exactly. It's always a female angel, and it's a reason for that, because it's a lady named, her name is Esther, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's supposed to be the queen of the universe, and people have been worshiping her for years, for centuries, right? And so when you actually bring the tree into your house and you put the star or the female angel on it and you decorate the tree, you are worshiping the tree without even knowing it. Now we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1. Right now, this is going to be the Most High himself telling you not to do this, right? Now, we really, truly love the Most High, and we call our people, we call ourselves people who love God, and I'm one of God's children, and I'm sanctified, and all that stuff that you want to say. We got to follow the order of what the Most High has already instructed for us to do. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1.
Okay, Jeremiah 10, verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Most High speaketh unto you, O house of Israel.
Okay, we are the house of Israel. Blacks, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, all of us are the 12 tribes of Israel. Read.
Thus saith the Most High, learn not the way of the heathen.
He said what?
Learn not the way of the heathen.
We're not supposed to learn the ways of the other nations, right? And I'm going to break it down, read.
And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain.
He said, all of their customs are in vain, read.
For one cutteth a tree out of the forest.
Uh-oh, they cut a tree out of the forest, read.
The work of the hands of the workmen with the axe.
Okay, so they cut a tree down out of the forest with an axe. What else they do with it?
They deck it with silver and with gold.
They deck it with what?
They deck it with silver and with gold.
Ba la 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 la, Christmas time is here. So just letting you know, this has always been here for a very, very long time. It's not a coincidence that we bring a tree into our house and we decorate it and put presents under the tree. We're worshiping a tree in our house. And you can say, well, I'm not worshiping a tree, I'm just doing a celebration. Well, the celebration itself is a custom that the Most High told you not to do. This is deep. Okay, let's get deeper. Let's get deeper. Okay, so now, did you know that Christmas was outlawed in America at one point because they knew it was really satanic? Did you know that, Pastor Pinkney?
I didn't know it was outlawed. Not here in this country.
Yeah, it was outlawed.
This company, they think Christmas as, you know, this is when they fatten their pockets on the people.
Let's read about it. Read that second text I gave you, Jerry.
Okay. Most Americans today are unaware that Christmas was banned in Boston from 1659 to 1681. However, the Puritan presence remained in New England, and Christmas did not become a legal holiday there until 1856. Even then, some schools continued to hold classes on December 25th until 1870.
Okay, so now, why didn't they want Christmas to be celebrated over here? for a small for that amount of time. They knew it was satanic, right? So now we see Santa Claus, we see the elves, we see the sleigh, right? So where does all of this mysterious stuff come from, right? There's no white man living in the North Pole trying to find out who's naughty or nice, right? We know that that's all fake, right? But where did they get that history from? Okay, read that other one I sent you at the time.
In Central European folklore, Krampus is a horned, anthropomorphic figure described as half goat, half demon.
All right, here we go. Krampus, right? Krampus is another word for Christmas, right? Okay, so this is where the real Christmas actually comes from, right? So I'm gonna tell you how to spell it so y'all can look it up. And when you look it up, it's going to scare the heck out of you because you're going to see where Christmas really came from. So the word is Krampus, and it's spelled K-R-A-M-P-U-S. I'm going to give it to you one more time. K-R-A-M-P-U-S, right? So it's a half-goat, half-demon. Read.
Half-goat, half-demon. Who during the Christmas season punishes children who have misbehaved, in contrast with St. Nicholas, who rewards the well-behaved with gifts.
All right, so now you got Krampus and you got this dude named Santa, right? St. Nick, and both of them walking together, and this other thing looks like a demon, and he going around beating kids, eating kids, all kind of crazy stuff. And all you got to do is go on YouTube and type it in. You will actually see the same celebration that they've been doing for centuries right now, right? Because what America tries to do is hide what the real deal of Christmas and all of these holidays which we call holidays is really about. So if we really, truly love the Most High, we would not do Christmas, and Christmas has nothing, I repeat, it has nothing to do with Christ. Christ was not born in the wintertime. The devil is the master deceiver. So what he does is he try to put things where we think that they are, but they're not really there, so we can worship him and not the Most High. So I wanted to bring that out. I know we ain't got that much time, Pinkney, but I want to share this to try to stop people from putting trees in their house and being in the Christmas spirit. And all you got to do is do your own research. The mistletoe is wicked. The wreath that you got on your door is wicked. All you got to do is just research all this stuff. We are in a time where the Most High is awakening us. We in that 400-year prophecy. Matter of fact, they are commemorating us. Did you know that? They're commemorating the so-called slaves in America. They have a bill called the H.R. 1242, and they want to commemorate the slaves for being here for 400 years, right? But remember, I told you that that's prophecy that the real Jews would be in America, the North Country, for 400 years being punished. That's Genesis 15:13. Right? And we're supposed to come out with great substance, but the Most High is waiting on you and me to get our life right. He don't want us fellowshipping and doing all this stuff that we've been doing. He wants us to focus on him and do what he has commanded us to do for all of these things to come true. All praise to the Most High.
All praise.
Wow. Hey, man, that's tremendous. I really, really appreciate that. That was heavy. And I hope people understood exactly where you was coming from. And, hey, that's all I got to say. On that note, I'm always happy to hear your voice. Because, you know, you're my guy. You're my covenant brother. And you out there in sunny California enjoying yourself. But, listen, you got about 60 seconds. Tell us something else that you might want us to know, and I got two more guests I got to bring in real fast, but just tell us something that you want us to know.
Well, I just really think that it is time for us as a people to take a stand and realize who we are, who the Most High is, and come back to the Father. We've been asleep for 400 years. It's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to rejuvenate ourselves, come out of our comas, come out of our sleep. The Bible calls us the dry bones, the walking dead. And now it's time for us to revive ourselves through the power of the Most High and show all the people who, the whole world who we are, so they can fellowship with us, with the Most High, because the Most High is dealing with the children of Israel. And I would like to say this also, Pastor Pinckney. I would like to also commemorate you for being such of a strong brother and doing everything that you can to help our people. I don't want that to go unnoticed with anybody that's listening to this call, how Pastor Pinckney gives his heart, his soul, his life for the people. And it's nothing greater than that. Christ said there's no greater thing than a man that will lay down his life for his friends. And that's what this man do on a daily. So I would just like to thank you for having me on the show. And if anybody want to contact me, just go to CaliforniaHebrews.com. All praise to the Most High.
All right, my brother, that is my dear brother, my friend, my guy. Love him. He was here in Benton Harbor, and he got a chance to see some of the work we do. And I'm excited for him because he do a lot of work. But listen, I don't have a whole lot of time. I'm going to bring in Big Dave right fast. And Dave, I want you to talk about one voice now, real. You got a couple of minutes, and I got to bring in my good friend Big Yo. Go ahead. Dave, are you there?
Hey, Reverend Pinckney, how are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Good. I've just been enjoying the program. A lot of good thoughts going across the airwaves tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, don't forget about tomorrow, 1 o'clock. You got to be here at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
You want me to just be at your place?
If you come to my place, you got to get here maybe about 12:30.
Okay.
Okay. Let's meet at 12:30. Yeah. Then we go from there.
All right. That sounds good.
All right.
But, hey, thanks for pushing One Voice Now. I don't know if your listeners have taken a look at it, but our website is onevoicenow.org, onevoicenow.org. It's the blueprint for each community to give everybody a real and equal voice on the issues affecting their lives. And what we want to do is let people watch issues over the TV, radio, and internet, and vote by phone, because we now know that the politicians aren't going to fix our country. It's up to we the people, and it has to start in our communities. I know you don't have much time, so I'll leave it at that, but I hope everybody takes a look at onevoicenow.org, and let's change America.
And we can do it. That's the most important thing. We can do this. Big Dave, I got to let you go. I will see you tomorrow at my house. Have a real good day. I got to bring in my good friend, Big Yo. Big Yo from Chicago. Talk to me, Big Yo. My classmate, my buddy, my neighbor, my everything. Talk to me, Big Yo. What you got to tell me today?
Lil Ed.
Talk to me.
I really enjoyed the show. And you know what you said, everybody, all the activists that you know and you talk about, they had to pull together on one umbrella. Now, all I've got to say is pull together and demand you work in one of the five different CHAPS pay systems. It's God's pay system. Demand that. And that way you work 10 hours a week for this year's salary that's taxable, 10 hours a week to pay for all your benefits that's non-taxable, 10 hours a week to pay for a stipend pay that you should get that's non-taxable, and 10 hours a week for next year's salary. So what I'm saying is all those crooked politicians, you know, every crooked politician and just about all the preachers, they got a whole lot of more money. They got more money than I have. And so the preachers, I'm paying their salary by paying them tithe. But they got more money than I have. The preachers got to be in the CHAPS pay system also. so they can, we can stop paying the preachers pride for their living, for their cost of living. Politicians, we are paying these crooked politicians to not to pass the law for us, but for themselves, and they got more money than all of us put together, like Donald Trump. He's a rich man. But guess what? We are paying taxes for his salary. You know what he said? He said, well, I don't take that money. Oh, what you do with the money then? Give it to me if you don't take it. No, in a tax-pay system, everybody had to stand up and they had their own money. Everybody have 168 hours per week. Everybody. So you have your own money. And so guess what, Le'Ed? Once you leave that position that you got, you take your hours and your money with you. So it never stops. You're going to get a double salary for the rest of your life. Unskilled labor is $31,200 a year. And an hourly pay system. And so you're going to make that, but you got to give that back. So you're making $31,200 a year for this year's salary, $31,200 a year to pay for all your benefits, $31,200 a year to pay for your stipend pay that you're going to get every quarter, and $2,122 to pay for your next year's salary. Man, if people got to wake up. And all you activists, you know, you on the right track. But PensonSenior.com, look at my website and look at those blogs I get on there. You know, I had something very important to tell Jane Fonda, to tell her ex-husband, Ted Turner. Tell him, tell his kids, to tell the kids to run CHAP. And those, I think it said he got 17 restaurants, you know, out there, but it's a board, and the kids are running the board. But tell Jane to tell them to run taps, and guess what? The waitresses is going to get, $15 an hour. So every waitress in there, every pot cleaner, every floor sweeper is going to get $31,200 an hour. And then guess what? They got to give it
hour.
Back.
You mean a year.
A yearly.
Uh-huh.
That's
uh-huh.
a yearly salary. And then you got to work 2,080 hours for a yearly salary. That's it.
Uh-huh.
So in other words, in a cash pay system, you got to work four years. You got to work 3 fiscal years and 1 calendar year. That's what the people don't understand right now in the United States Post Office. They think they work 52 weeks for that 1 year, that 1 calendar year. But they're not counting the 3 fiscal years that they had to go through. They're not counting. So everything's based on them. It's a 52-week pay system. That's not true. And the United States government is lying to them. You know, they're hoodwinking them. They're like they're doing their F. But, you know, just like I said, once again, Le'Ed, it ain't no fun when a rabbit got the gun. And we got the gun.
That's right. No, that's right, yo.
And all
yo,
activists, okay.
I'm always happy to hear you because me and my wife Bova is reading your book. She's reading it now, and we'll get me and her get a chance to talk about it once she completed. And I think you own to something, big fella. I really do. I really think you own to something. But now what we got to do? We got to get other people to understand how important it is. So that's the big thing. See, remember this: they don't like big changes like that. Unless they think of it, see. So we got to make them think that they thought of it. Once we make them think they thought of, oh, we in. Just like One Voice Now, we got to make them think that they thought of this. This is their idea, not ours, but hit their idea. That's when they get excited, yo. And we're gonna keep talking about it, yo, until people get it and understand exactly where they at. I did have a few questions for you, but. We don't have the time this week, but I'm going to make sure next week we have these questions. And I'm going to give you the questions before so you can know exactly where we're going. So that's important because I'm pretty sure I'm going to get some more questions today from people. People are going to email me and want to know different things. So we're going to let you answer that next week. We'll have more time for you next week. So that way you will get a chance to talk about it. And on that note, Big Yoke, we just ran out of time. And I want to thank everybody. And you know, this is something for people to talk about. We talk about One Voice now because the reason why, we got to change the way we are doing business. Until we change the way we're doing business, they're going to continue to punish us. So let's do it. On that note, good night all. See you next Sunday. Same time, same station.